This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The new trade reality sets in. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. The U.S.-China trade war has ratcheted up again. As of Sunday, many Chinese-made consumer goods now face an additional 15% tax on their way into the U.S. The tariffs cover about $125 billion worth of products like shoes, headphones, TVs, and smartwatches. China also started implementing retaliatory tariffs on $75 billion worth of American products, including a 5% tax on crude oil. For more on this, I'm joined by BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Kimberly.
So how soon before this latest trade escalation starts showing up in the daily lives of Americans?
We're probably talking a few weeks because it takes some time before goods that arrive at port subject to the new additional tariffs end up in the shops. American consumers might have some difficulty distinguishing the extent to which particular goods are more expensive than they would otherwise have been because of the tariffs. But the fact is that there will be a difference. And there's no question, I think, that the burden, although distributed throughout the length of the supply chain, is going to hit American consumers increasingly.
President Trump says the tariffs are damaging the Chinese economy. Do we have a sense from manufacturing data how all of this is affecting China and its neighbors?
There certainly is some sort of impact. The latest information we've got on manufacturing in China actually suggests that activity rebounded a little bit in August, but that same survey also suggested the outlook reported by Chinese manufacturers for the next 12 months is pretty downbeat. If you look at economic growth in China, it's continued to slow. 6.2% is the most recent figure there. Maybe there's some impact of the tariffs in there, but it is important to remember that China has been experiencing a slowdown that began at the turn of the decade. So I think we need to be a little bit cautious about putting too much of the causation of that 6.2% onto the trade war. But there's no question, it can't be helping.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, Kimberly.
And let's do the numbers. Asian markets closed mixed as investors weighed the fallout of the latest round of tariffs. The Shanghai Composite Index closed up 1.3%. Japan's Nikkei closed down 0.4%. The FTSE in London is up 1.4%, and the DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. U.S. markets are closed for the Labor Day holiday. And in the U.S., the gender wage gap is well documented. Working women make about 80 cents for every dollar earned by men. And we have news of another gender disparity when it comes to money, this one in banking fees. Women pay an average of $214 per year in bank fees. That's about 18% more than men pay. This data, according to the banking and investment app Stash, which analyzed fees from 500,000 of its users. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson explains what's behind that difference.
We're talking about late fees, ATM fees, commissions, but especially overdraft fees. Women pay 30% more in overdraft fees than men, says Brandon Krieg, the CEO of Stash.
Well, we think it's a byproduct of the gender pay gap. You know, when you're making less money, but you're paying to live, you're going to end up having more problems and paying more fees.
Earning less, it sets off this cascade of other problems. For example, women might not qualify for lower-fee checking accounts that require higher minimum balances, says Heidi Hartman, president of the Institute for Women's Policy Research.
Certainly, it's the case that women have lower incomes than men. They earn less. They're more likely to be poor. They are more likely to have responsibility for children alone.
Women have higher student loan debt than men. And all these things make it harder to save for retirement, buy a house, build wealth, all of which magnifies the original pay inequity. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Here in Washington, D.C., residents call 911 at one of the highest rates in the country. Many of those calls aren't life-threatening. So now, officials are trying to divert some of those needing medical attention. Rather than putting people into ambulances to take them to a hospital, there's a new plan to put patients into ride shares that take them to clinics. From WAMU in Washington, LEU reports.
Responding. 1037.
D.C. paramedic Andre Edwards is on a call at an apartment building in Washington.
11 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Somebody's getting stabbed in the middle of the day.
Two of his colleagues roll out a man on a gurney. He's conscious, but his torso is wrapped in bandages. Edwards says ambulances responded pretty quickly to this call, but that's because the day hasn't been too busy.
Resources can get tied up, and it's still early.
He says the system can get overwhelmed and ambulances get backed up at the city's emergency rooms. Getting calls from patients who are not in dire need doesn't help.
Ran a guy who stapled his finger on accident with a regular office stapler, but he wanted to go to the hospital and get a tetanus shot, things like that.
To save resources for true emergencies like the stabbing, D.C. started a program last year to send more patients to clinics in rideshare cars. Nurses take 911 calls and direct patients to the appropriate option. D.C. Fire and EMS medical director says his department needs to convince people that taking an ambulance to an ER isn't always the best option.
We still need community buy-in, if you will.
The department says 911 call takers and emergency responders are still getting the hang of transferring calls to nurses. And patients aren't always happy with nurses' decisions. 60-year-old Edward McMahon called 911 last year when his left knee was so swollen he couldn't move it. The nurse sent him a rideshare car.
It should have been an ambulance. It was very, very hard getting down the steps. It took a while.
McMahon was diagnosed with gout at a clinic. He's been going back ever since for primary care. He says he understands that ambulances should be reserved for emergencies, but...
At the time, you know, I didn't know. So for that to happen to me, I lost a lot of faith in a 911.
D.C. officials hope that Washington residents will have faith that sometimes a car to a clinic is the best option. In Washington, I'm LEU for Marketplace.
And I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.